Jesus Christ, I just thank you so much again. Just want to come before you and bless your name. Thank you for making peace with us, with my race, us humans. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on this world and giving your blood as an opportunity to be okay with you, to be right with you. And I ask that anyone that is listening to this, God, that you would encourage them that it's finished. It's already done. That they are righteous in your eyes if they've believed that you've given your life so that we can have new life. It's done. We are righteous. We have been perfected. We are complete. And all we're doing is waiting to go home to you and just growing to know you in the process, God. And I just pray that they will be encouraged, God, to keep on opening the scriptures and to read and to learn of you and to obey and to practice and to love one another, God. Lord, I just thank you again for having the opportunity to share. In your name, I praise you. Amen. Hi, this is Michael Ryan, and welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can find me on letsworshipjesus.com, or you can subscribe to these audio booths by going to any iTunes search query and typing in Michael Ryan's booths. Let's jump into Luke 16, verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, and joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over here from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, then, I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. So what do we have here, friends? We have, is it a parable? I don't believe it's a parable. Jesus doesn't use real names in parables. I believe this is a real circumstance that Jesus is trying to use to teach you about heaven, about hell, about the underworld, about decisions that you make in life. I think this is him speaking directly to you and giving you insight in what happens in the spiritual world. So we got the rich man, a man who has whatever he desires. He doesn't lack anything. He's full of riches and wealth. You got a man of God, Lazarus, right? It's not just because he's poor. Just because you're poor doesn't automatically make you bound for heaven. He's a poor, righteous man. That's the undertone of it. A man who is a man of God. And he has no worldly possessions. He's in his own sense of torment right now. He has sores that the dogs come and lick. He's begging for food. I mean, that's not a good place to be in. Dealing with hunger consistently. And just a reminder, the blood of Christ, it does not exclude you from suffering. And I have to say that for all those twisted messages out there that make you believe that if you have faith, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to be without any type of financial resources. You don't have to be struggling with finances. You don't have to be just tight and in a bad situation. It's not true. Your kingdom is not of this world, friends. Our kingdom is not of this world. And you can expect to suffer in this world just as Christ suffered. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heed, I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus Christ said. When Jesus was with Pontius Pilate said to him, so you're a king? Where's your kingdom? And Jesus says, listen, if this is not my kingdom, if this was my kingdom, I'd have millions of angels right now defending me. There's no way you'd even be close to touch me. But this is not my kingdom. And neither, it's the same message he gives to you. It's not your kingdom. So when you suffer in this world, don't blame God for it. Don't blame God. Your pain and your sorrows will be wiped away. He promises that in Revelation chapter 21. He will wipe away your pain and your suffering. But this is not the time for it. Right now is the time to let God live in us and work out this salvation and to deal with our suffering by getting closer to him. That's all we can do. But this man, obviously, I guess he didn't curse God. I mean, you know, maybe he had his moments, but he was a man of God and he died and he went straight to paradise. At that time, Abraham's bosom, not yet heaven. Jesus had not yet ascended and not had yet perfected man, allowing them to be in God's presence. So they were in Abraham's bosom. And, you know, Lazarus is immediately relieved and the rich man's torment now immediately begins. And I suspect that he had emptiness in him already. God's word, it says to Solomon that those who love riches will never be satisfied with riches. Those who love silver will never be satisfied with silver, specifically, it says. And I can be almost sure that he had a sense of emptiness in him. And now here it is, his fulfillment of just the decisions that he made. And that just brings me to the next point, that Abraham gave the rich man a couple of unfortunate reality checks in the conversation that we were observing here. You know, Abraham is kind enough to entertain him. You know, he didn't say, oh, you know what? Look, you messed up your life. You did this. You didn't want to care about God. Don't even talk to me, okay? He had a conversation with him, you know. He had a conversation with him, and he gave him some things that I think that we can learn from and we can apply. And again, I think God is speaking to us. This is his word. Everything here in this scripture is deliberate. It's not accidental. First, Abraham makes it pretty clear to the rich man that where he is at is a direct result. It's a direct consequence of the life that he chose. It's a direct result of the choices he made while he was alive. And that his position is fixed. It's permanent. Where he is at, his suffering will not end. It is forever. He cannot pass over to paradise. Ever. Ever. It's over. Friends, this is big news. Do you understand that this life is not life? It's not the real thing. The real thing is what happens when you and I die. That is the real thing. You must understand that. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be alive for millions and millions and millions of years. And this is just the beginning of it. You're never going to die. Jesus Christ said, anyone who believes in me, they shall never die. In John chapter 5. But anyone who does not believe in God, you will die. And the sad part about it is that your life will continue in torment. And this is the reality check that the rich man gave him. The second reality check that he gave him is, this is going to happen to every human being who does not choose God either, including his family, And that's a tough reality check, but he told it to him. He's giving him truth. Again, God is speaking to you and I. He's giving you a message. Jesus Christ is, this is deliberate. When Jesus is walking around at that time in that area, and he's saying these things, he knows that it's going to be written, it's going to be scribed, he's going to bring it back to the memory through his Holy Spirit of his disciples, and that people nowadays are going to be reading it, and they're going to be learning from it. He knows that. This is for you right now to chew on and meditate on. Every human being is going to be in this position if we don't have Jesus Christ protected by his blood. Every human being is going to face death, and they're going to face heaven or hell. And depending on the choice that you made in your life, that will determine where you end up. That's the reality of it. That is the reality of it. Do you see now why it doesn't matter all the things that you accomplish in this earth? There's a song that says, this, you know, one life may come and pass, but only what's done for Christ, that will last. Only what's done for Christ. Your faith in Christ is the only thing that matters. The only thing. You can secure all types of riches. You can move mountains with technology. You can build machines that rock this world. You can be a billionaire for your whole life. You could be a celebrity. You can have everything you want. You don't even have to be that extreme. You could just be someone who's content, a beautiful family. You look great. You have great genes. You have a nice car. You have a nice job. Everything's well for you. You're successful. But to God, you're poor. You're broke. And some of us wish we had those things. And I'm saying, if you're one of those people who wishes that they had certain material things in his life, let me be the first one to tell you that those things don't matter to God. They don't matter to God. The last thing that Abraham reveals to the rich man is that the word of God is enough to prepare, to warn, to prevent people from being in this position of torment. It's enough. You see, when Abraham told him, hey, you know, they have, they have the prophets. They have all these different things. The rich man was quick to say, well, if they see someone come back from the dead, if they just see me, you know, I'm their brother. You know, if I go to my five brothers and I just tell them, you know, if I could just warn them, if I could just warn them of this ugly place and that they could die and they'll be stuck in torment and they won't be able to cross over to paradise and they'll be stuck in this place. If I could just warn them of that. And Abraham says, listen, they have the word of God. They have the word of God. You're coming to this reality that when someone is in torment and when someone is in hell, they're in hell forever. But that's something that the Word talked about. The Word explained all of that. If they don't believe the Word, if they don't believe what Moses wrote, if they don't believe what the prophets wrote, because at that time that was their Word, that was the Old Testament, the prophets and what Moses wrote, nothing else. If they don't believe that, then guess what? They won't believe you. They won't believe you. It's the word of God that saves people. It's the word of God that gets into people and changes them. If they won't believe that, they won't believe you. So that leaves some questions that I ask you to consider. One, are you one of those people who are unknowingly headed for this exact same fate? Are you one of those people? That's a question that everyone should be asking themselves, whether you've made a decision to be a believer in God or not. Jesus says, many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and they'll talk about all the things they did in my name, but I will say, I never knew you. Get out of my face. Get out of my face. I think it's another second question. How are you living your life? What kind of choices are you making in your life right now? Do you read and obey the word of God? Jesus says in John chapter 8, those who continue in my word truly are my disciples. He says, those who hear the word of God and do it, those are my family. He says, if you love me, in John 14, 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. John, 1 John chapter 2 says, anyone who says that they know Jesus and they don't obey his commandments, they are lying. They're a liar. So I ask you, so you don't have that shock, I urge you to think about this. Are you living according to Jesus' word? Are you obeying? The other third question or third point that I urge you to consider is, what are you doing to prevent your loved ones and neighbors from this predicament? What are you doing to be a light. You know, this guy's saying, man, I wish I can go back and talk to them. All right, well, here you have the opportunity. You know what the word says. You don't have to go through that to know that this is real. You believe the word. You know what it says. What are you doing with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers? That's a question these are all questions I have to ask myself. Because we have flesh, and sometimes we start thinking about ourselves and we don't think about other people. But it's a question I ask you to consider. Jesus really, I mean, he gave us this. And really, we have to treasure everything that comes out of Christ's mouth. Every single thing that comes out of his mouth. He says it for our own edification, for our own good. And I think this is something that is worth thinking about. What are you doing to prevent your loved ones from being in this place? Are you too afraid of making things uncomfortable? Are you too afraid of ending and breaking a friendship? Is this not worth it? Do you understand? Is this not worth it? Look at where this guy is coming from in this parable. He's in torment, in flames. I bet he can barely even speak to talk to Abraham. And Abraham's probably speaking comfortably because he's in paradise. He's in torment. And you know what? It's not going to be for just 30 years. It's not going to be until his sins are completely paid off or burned away or he's completed his punishment. It's going to be never ending. That's exactly where your friend, your coworker, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister who does not know the Lord, who has not obeyed the word of truth and been washed and born again, that's exactly where they're going. And if you, listening, have not been born again, if you've not made that true decision to be born anew, and you're a new creation, obedient to the word of God, the same thing will happen to you. The same thing will happen to you. So I ask you these questions, and I pray you consider them. I pray you let them just occupy your mind and ask other people, what are we doing? How are we living our life? What kind of decisions are we making? What are we doing with sin? Are we repenting of sin? Do we hate sin? Do we want to grow to obey the word of God? Do we want to know him more? Or are we just pretending and we get the reality shock? Do you want to have a reality check conversation like this ever? Do you want to be talking to somebody from hell about how you made the wrong decision? You know, or do you want your loved one to be doing that? You can prevent that right now. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you, if you have not had your sins washed away, and I'm not just talking about the sin you did yesterday, I'm not talking about the sin that you maybe did as we were speaking, I'm talking about every single sin of your life, future, past, and present, every sin could be washed right now, and you could experience unlimited forgiveness, new life, abundant life. You can invite God to personally come and live inside of your chest and your brain. He will dwell inside of you, and God will take you up to heaven with you if you just repent right now, if you just ask him. If you just ask him. And you can have the impact on your family's life, your friend's life, your coworker's life. You can be praying for them. You could be spending time with them. Maybe open up the word with them. Maybe in a way as you see as most appropriate and fit, giving them the gospel. I understand that there are certain constraints and constrictions and restrictions, and you can't, you know, necessarily share at your job or at school, or maybe there are just certain guidelines. I understand that, but I'm saying to you, at least let this be heavy in your heart. You can be praying. The effective prayer for a righteous man, it goes a long way. So, Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to obey it, Lord, because I, my flesh, don't want to obey it. And no one in their flesh wants to obey your word. That's why you had to redeem us by your own blood, by being beaten unrecognizably. You had to die for us. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask that you would just draw people to obey you and to grow in you and to know you and to experience your perfect and unlimited love, God. And that we remind ourselves daily that we are complete. We are perfect. We are forgiven. Jesus, I ask these things in your name. Amen.